The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the South Point Studio, the perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down. Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
When I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday, the Wednesday after the big weekend. Is everybody out there rested? I know, boy, I was spent. It was just a high adrenaline weekend of racing with the Kentucky Derby, etc. And now we look forward to the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes, as we begin another week of horse racing coverage, Las Vegas style, right here from the South Point Studios on the South Point Studio streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. We come to you live and direct from the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital of the world. And we welcome all of our listeners through the YouTube streaming and, of course, all of our other platforms that we have, like our local radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. All our websites that include racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global, iPhone or Android. We got that covered, too, with the apps. The KSHP app will avail you the sound, the radio side of our shows. And, of course, the YouTube app will avail you not only the sound, but also the video as well. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever you get us, welcome to the show as we begin another week covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style. Well, I could tell you this. A lot of stuff's happening after the Kentucky Derby. I think the most active subject matter on X, previously Twitter, but on X now, is the non-call, non-inquiry in the Kentucky Derby involving the second and third place finishers in the Kentucky Derby. A lot of action going on there. The consensus of most people think that there should have been at least an inquiry, and a lot of people thought there should have been a disqualification of Sierra Leone over leaning on Forever Young as they made their way trying to catch Mystic Dan, who the finish line, that big, beautiful, big finish line along that big, long stretch of the under the Twin Spires came just in the nick of time for Mystic Dan as he wins the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. We'll get into a little bit of that and some other Kentucky Derby post notes on the Race Day show today. As you know, it is a very light day of racing as far as live racing is concerned. Only five racetracks on our racing menu, but we'll pick it up as we move through the week, of course. Taking a look at the horses that are now moving towards the Preakness Stakes, you have, of course, Bob Baffert's duo of Muth, the winner of the Arkansas Derby, and Imagination, the horse who pushed to Stronghold to a photo finish in the Santa Anita Derby. Those two horses are going to Pimlico. They will be running in the Preakness Stakes, the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. They worked as a team on Saturday morning at Santa Anita, and they covered the three-quarters of a mile in 1:11.40. So you know Bob Baffert's got the screws tight on these two horses to compete in the Preakness Stakes. But the big question seems to be, will the Derby winner, Mystic Dan, go in the Preakness Stakes? After all, he's the only one that has a chance at a Triple Crown this year. Well, Kenny McPeak said after the race and ensuing days at the barn since the Kentucky Derby, it all depends on Mystic Dan. They said that the day after and the night and the day after the Kentucky Derby, Mystic Dan ate up his feed and his feed tub. He said if he keeps attacking his feed tub and eating as he should, then there is a possibility that he will go and take a chance in the Preakness Stakes. Remember that he had said, and a lot of people from the past performances of Mystic Dan shows that with only a two-week interval between races, he just doesn't run well. And, of course, the Preakness is 2 weeks from the Kentucky Derby. So he's weighing the option of taking a chance against his past performance resume and trying him for the Preakness Stakes, because he's, as we know, the Kentucky Derby winner is the only one that has a chance of the Triple Crown. Knowing full well that Bob Baffert is loaded with his two horses from California getting into the Preakness Stakes, so we'll wait and see about that. And of course, we had some closings over the weekend. Racetracks, the big Oak Lawn meet, had their final race on Sunday, and believe it or not, Kenny McPeak won the final day stakes races at Oak Lawn Park with Frosted Departure. So he had one hell of a weekend. The final race final stakes race of the Oak Lawn Park meeting on Sunday. And I got to tell you, if you were watching the Oak Lawn signal, you could see that the last race of the day, they did something really classy. All of the pony boys lined up along the outer railing of the home stretch and saluted the fans. The pony boys saluted the fans for a great Oak Lawn meeting. I thought that was classy, that's for sure. Saluting to the public there. Of course, Steve Asmussen won the trainer title with 71 wins during the Oak Lawn meet. That equaled a single season record that's held by Cole Norman back in 2003. So Asmussen and Norman now hold the record jointly at 71 wins there. Laurel Park closed on Sunday. Of course, they move now to Pimlico Racecourse for these 2 weeks leading up to the Preakness Stakes. Pimlico will start this week. Turf Paradise closed on Sunday with their final race, the Hasta La Vista Stakes, Turf Paradise closed on Saturday. And for the openings this week, well, I already told you that Pimlico will open. That'll start tomorrow. Pimlico's racing meet will start tomorrow. On Friday, Prairie Meadows gets underway. And Monmouth Park, by the shores of New Jersey, Monmouth Park opens on Saturday. So some of the racetracks that are opening, some of the racetracks that have closed, and of course, Santa Anita will kick back in with its card on Friday. All right, we're going to take a look at some of the post-Kentucky Derby notes, and of course, look ahead to the Preakness Stakes. We'll get a first look of horses that are heading towards the Preakness Stakes. Last count, I thought it was 11 horses that are going into the Preakness Stakes, and I think only 3 of the 20 that ran in the Kentucky Derby are intended on going to the Preakness Stakes. So we'll take a look at that. And of course, Bob Baffert loaded with mouth and imagination. Baffert is looking. He's looking for his 9th Preakness win come a week from Saturday. So we'll wait and see there. By the way, Dwayne Lucas will have Just Steal and Seize the Gray. That, of course, the winner of the Pat Day Mile. Those two horses are heading towards the Preakness Stakes. And Dwayne Lucas has 6 Preakness wins of his own. So it's going to be an exciting march to the Preakness Stakes, the second jewel of the Triple Crown. On today's show, we got Jonathan Hardoon, Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J, all with their thoughts about what they saw and the Kentucky Derby and how it shapes up, and of course, heading to the Preakness Stakes. So we got a lot to cover on this race day show. We'll take our first break, and when we come back, I'll give you your racing menu. We'll take a look at some of those Kentucky Derby post notes, and we'll get Jonathan Hardoon involved. I guess most people, thought Jonathan and a lot of other people were right. There should have been an inquiry in the Kentucky Derby. We'll hash that out and much more. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. As far as the weather here in your gaming capital, 56 degrees outside. It got a little cold over the night, but it's going to get up to 75. And by the time we get to Sunday, back to into the 90s, we'll have a 91 topper on Sunday. All I can tell you is we had some winds that are happening early this morning here in Las Vegas, but as clear as a bell, as well as it is up and down the Pacific Coast. East Coast is clear. Gulf Coast is clear. The only action we have is up in Canada and the northeast over the Great Lakes area. A little bit going on the Tennessee border there with Kentucky. And believe it or not, snow in upper Idaho and parts of Montana, etc. So, hey, man, it's May already. Come on. Anyhow, Mother Nature is helping them out with a little snow up there, that's for sure. All right. Let's go to the racing menu for today, a short, brief racing menu. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone if you're listening here in Las Vegas. And you'll be going to our sportsbook, racebook area, the racebook right here, right behind us at the South Point Studios. These will be the first post times that roll out in our racebooks today. We are in the Pacific time zone, therefore the first post times on this menu each and every day reflect the first post times in the Pacific time zone. If you're listening anywhere else on the many platforms that we have covering the world, we know you're in other time zones, so adjust to it, to the Pacific time zone from wherever you're at so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. First race up for grabs. The first track will be Parks Racing. Parks Racing has a Pick 5 jackpot carryover today of $68,323. $68,323 in the Pick 5 jackpot at Parks Racing. First post time there is 9:40. Then we roll into Horseshoe Indianapolis. Their first post time is 11:10. 11:10 at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Following that, you've got Louisiana Downs. Louisiana Downs' first post time is 2:05. We go right to 2:05 with the Louisiana Downs. Their Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $3,524. Again, 2:05 first post there. Following that, we get to Penn National. Penn National has a first post time of 2:45 today. 2:45 at Penn National today. And then we wrap it up with our fifth and final track on the menu. That is Evangeline Downs. Evangeline Downs' first post time is at 3:30. And that's your brief racing menu for today, that's for sure. I want to give you some Kentucky Derby post-Derby notes. The last 11 Kentucky Derby favorites at least made the superfecta in the Kentucky Derby. I say that because Fierceness, who was the favorite, official favorite in the Kentucky Derby, ran 15th. So he didn't even make the superfecta this year. The last three-horse exciting photo finish was in 1947 when Jet Pilot, Felix, and Faultless all hit the wire in a three-horse photo finish. The last photo finish at all was a two-horse photo finish. That was in 1996 when Grindstone and Cavaneer hit the wire together. The last trainer to sweep the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby double in the same year was Ben Jones back in 1952. Now, he was the trainer of the powerful Calumet Farm at that time. So Kenny McPeak won this year, of course, the Oaks with Torpedo Anna and the Derby with Mystic Dan. So Kenny McPeak living in a very, very exclusive club there. The highest television viewership on the Kentucky Derby was this year since 1989. 16.7 million people watched the Kentucky Derby telecast. Now, in 1989, that was the year that Sunday Silence ran in the Derby. That year, they had 18.9 million. But the viewership peaked at the time of the Kentucky Derby, when people tuned in just to watch the Derby, to over 20 million people. 20.1 million actually watched the Derby this year. So it was a resounding success, certainly here at the South Point. They kicked out the jams in the big grand ballroom. It was standing room only in that ballroom that held over 1,000 people. So we want to thank all of you that came out and celebrated the 150th Kentucky Derby with us. Total commingled wagering was up 10.1%, 198.3 million on the Kentucky Derby alone, up from 18.16 million from 2023, just last year. And that helped out a lot with the folks that were here gambling at the South Point. We had a record here as well at the South Point Racebook. Attendance, 156,710 was at the track on Saturday. That was the highest attendance since 2018. And as far as Twitter was concerned, or now X, old Twitter, I got to tell you, there are two things on X that I saw over the weekend that it really got to me, and that was the one that Gary Stevens. Gary Stevens had a message on X where quite a few people were asking him about that that bumping match, the what should have been an inquiry. Gary Stevens said he thought there should have been an inquiry, but he also noted that Tyler Gaffleone, as a rider, couldn't do any more than he was trying to do in trying to get Sierra Leone off of Forever Young. It may have looked like he was pushing off of Forever Young. What he was trying to do is get Sierra Leone off of Forever Young. By the way, the stewards did ask Gaffleone to come in over the 2 days off and view the videotapes of the incident and talk it over with him. But the stewards did say they looked at the videotape but did not find any reason to post the inquiry sign. And as far as the official from the statement from the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission regarding that, they said, the incident between the second and third place finishers, the stewards review every race in Kentucky live and by video replay before posting it official. And they found the same procedure for the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. After conducting their standard review of the race, determining no further review or investigation was necessary to conclude there were no incidents that altered the finish of the race, and seeing there were no objections filed, the stewards posted the Kentucky Derby official. Following the race, stewards ordered Tyler Gaffleone, the jockey aboard Sierra Leone, to film review on May 9th, 2024. The stewards conducted film reviews routinely conducted with jockeys during a race. The stewards, in their discretion, can take disciplinary action against the jockey following the review. Now, we haven't heard anything about that yet, so we figured that they gave Gaffleone a clean bill of health there. And if the stewards issue a penalty, they said it will be posted on the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission website following that review. So we'll wait and see about that. Okay? And finally, on X, if you got to find this if you haven't seen it yet. There was a reenactment of the Kentucky Derby from the far turn to the finish line. It was a animated cartoon version of the Kentucky Derby. But here's the kicker. The voice, the recreation, the call of the race was made by a Japanese kid. A young kid, a child, did the reenactment of the call of the race against the cartoon, the characters in the race. And I got to tell you, folks, you got to watch it over and over again. It is an absolute riot. And it was a great, if you get it, save it, watch it on X. It was really something else. Finally, the Japanese contingent both the trainer, the owner, and the jockey displayed nothing but five-star class in the review and in the Kentucky Derby. They did not complain. They did not do anything else except that they hope to come back and win the Kentucky Derby someday. They were a class act. No complaining. No, just and for that matter, was very complimentary to not only Churchill Downs and the officials, but the actual winner of the race as well. Class act for the connections of Forever Young. All right. Now, getting into the Preakness Stakes, I want to bring in Jonathan Hardoon. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph, and how are you?
I'm doing fine. Any thoughts about any of the Kentucky Derby notes I just said?
You want to turn me loose?
Yes,
on these stewards?
Yes, of course. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, most of the people thought they should have had an inquiry, and a lot of the people who thought the inquiry said they thought that Sierra Leone should have been disqualified. What say you?
Well, we said it on Sunday,
yeah,
and I'll say it again today. If that race was a Thursday afternoon at Churchill, the fifth race, the Sierra Leone would have definitely come down. As far as what the stewards said, they just, I mean, do they really think people are stupid? We all watch. We watch millions of races. We know what's going on. If you're going to tell me that Sierra Leone didn't cost Forever Young a position by winning by a nose with all the banging and everything going on, well, then they better find a new career. As far as Tyler Gaffalione is concerned, he's to be held zero. He did nothing wrong. He was doing everything possible to keep that horse straight. Obviously, the horse lugs in. He's lugged in most of his races, and he was doing everything to pull on the right rein to get him off of the inside horse. He has zero blame in this. I blame the stewards. You don't want to take them down, that's fine. But at least drop the flag. At least put up an inquiry. Make the people that are watching these races think that you're doing your job, because you didn't do your job if you didn't even drop a flag. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion, Ralph, and that's really the way I feel. I could see keeping them up because you let them play in a big race like that. You give them a little extra latitude or whatever it is, and you don't take them down. It's a big race. Everybody's watching. But to say that you don't think it cost him a nose, that banging cost him more than a nose. And that's just my opinion. And by the way, Jerry Bailey also said that he shouldn't come down and everything else, you know. And this is a rider. I was just shocked. Gary Stevens, I think, got it right. Jerry Bailey got it wrong.
Well, all I can tell you is there's a couple of reflections on that. The majority of the people who said there should have been an inquiry also agreed with you that Sierra Leone should have came down. A nose difference means very rare, a little bit of a contact or push here or there could make a difference, and that was more than that. We all know that. Secondly, Sierra Leone did the same thing in the Bluegrass Stakes, but he circled the field and he cleared them. So when he came over, it was just nothing more than empty racetrack that he was coming over on. And I do believe, in addition to his habit of doing that, when you have 150,000 screaming, yelling people from the very top of the grandstand to the very railing that's along the rail, on the outer rail of the stretch, that the horse might have been shying away a little bit of all of the crowd noise as well. And I think that Gaffalione did everything he possibly could. But the Japanese were really a class act in saying, okay, that's the way it is. But I think the jockey...
You're 100% right about that. Go ahead.
The Japanese jockey in Japan, they have to wait for the stewards to make the inquiry in Japan. They can't just lodge an objection. And I think that maybe he thought the same rules applied in America.
Yeah, he was unaware, I'm sure. And yeah, I'm sure he didn't speak any English, if any at all.
Uh-huh.
And again, you hit it on the nose, Ralph. They were as classy as could be. They honored this game, and they respect the game, and they don't make a mockery of it. There are obviously very few foul claims in Japan, from what I was reading. I don't know if it's true or not. But supposedly, you know, to claim a foul in Japan is like kind of sacrilegious, whatever it is. And they totally respect the game, and I think that's great.
You know, another class act, not to get off on it because we'll come back to it, but another class act was the last race at Oaklawn when all the pony boys lined up along the outer railing of the home stretch and saluted the public, saluted the fans.
You see that in football sometimes or in baseball, the last game of the season, they'll come, all the players will come out and wave to the crowd or whatever. 100% class act. They had a terrific meet there. Dinnerman called his first Oakland Park meet. He did a great job. He's going to Monmouth starting this weekend. So, you know, they closed Golden Gate and everyone felt sorry for him because he was an up-and-coming announcer. And look what happened. He found himself quite he set himself up for a long career.
Did you happen to see that animation with the the Japanese kid recalled? Did you see that? Wasn't that entertaining?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I mean, that was really something.
Yeah.
I wish I had the notion at the time when I was watching it to try to save it and try to replay it on the show, although we probably have to get an approval to do that. But, I mean, if you have a chance, folks, you got to go and watch it. It was really creative and good, too.
You know, Ralph, when they were giving out the handle and all that, I'm curious, are they including money bet in Japan? Because you know the Japanese love to bet, and you had two Japanese horses in the race, so I'm sure that certainly helped handle if they counted their money into the purse.
I don't think it was. I think they had a separate pool in Japan, but you're right. I mean, the handle just knocked it off, and a lot of contributing here at the Southland with all the folks that were up in the Grand Ballroom. They were betting, boy.
Yeah, it's amazing how much interest this Derby really had. And it's good because you know what? It was a great race watching it, three noses on the wire. So I'm sure you'll have a lot of happy people coming back next year to watch another exciting race.
All right, now we turn our attention to the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes. Okay, we know that Mystic Dan is the only one that has a chance of winning a Triple Crown this year. Now, Kenny McPeak said after the show that he wasn't really inclined to go to the Preakness because this horse needs more than 2 weeks rest to perform well by his past performances alone. But now he did say, you know, you get a little bit of that, well, we're the only ones, maybe we ought to try and see type of attitude. And what he said was the horse, Mystic Dan, after the race and certainly Sunday morning, got into his feed tub and ate it all up, and he was really going, you know, like any horse does. Any healthy horse does. So there wasn't any after effects of the energy that he put out in the Kentucky Derby. And he said he ate up good. We'll let him tell us if he's not in the feed tub, he doesn't go. If he is in the feed tub, well, then we'll wait and see about the entries. That's for sure. Torpedo Anna, which at one time he said he might run in the Preakness, he has decided to wait until the big Belmont Festival weekend at Saratoga to run her in the filly race at Belmont Park. I don't think she is going to the Preakness. He did not officially say that, but his intentions were to go to Saratoga. And Mugatu, the horse, the also eligible horse that didn't get in because there wasn't an extra scratch in the Kentucky Derby. His trainer, Jeff Engel, said they're going to Pimlico for the Preakness Stakes. So here's how the Preakness kind of lines up right now. You have Catching Freedom, who finished fourth in the Kentucky Derby, Brad Cox and Flavian Pratt. Copper Tax, which is trained by Gary Cupuano and is ridden by J.G. Torralba, I should say. Copper Tax, who was the winner of the Federico Tessio Stakes at Laurel. You got Imagination, one of the two Bob Baffert horses, who was second in the Santa Anita Derby to Stronghold. His rider is going to be Frankie DeTore. You got Informed Patriot, Steve Asmussen trainee, a jockey to be announced. You got Just Deal, one of the two Dean Wade Lucas horses that finished 17th in the Kentucky Derby. Dean Wade Lucas said he's going to go with him. You got Mugatu, who Jeff Engel, of course, said will go on since he didn't run in the Kentucky Derby. You got Muth, the other Bob Baffert trainee, the winner of the Arkansas Derby. Juan Hernandez will be going out to ride him. Mystic Dan is still on the possible list for the Preakness. Of course, he'll be reunited. The Kenny McPeak horse will be reunited by Brian Hernandez Jr. Then you got Seize the Gray, the horse that won the Pat Day Mile on Derby weekend. D. Wayne Lucas trainee Jamie Torres will re-ride. And by the way, the partial owners of that horse were at the seminar here at the South Point, remember, and they were also at the South Point Derby party the next day, watching their horse win the Pat Day Mile. He's going on to the Preakness Stakes. Tuscan Gold, another Chad Brown trainee, was third in the Louisiana Derby. And Uncle Heavy, trained by Robert Reed Jr., who was fifth in the Wood Memorial. Right now, those are the horses they're intending on going to the Preakness Stakes, but there'll be horses coming in and out. And as far as the Derby non-inquiry to Sierra Leone and Forever Young, Forever Young is going back to Japan, and of course Sierra Leone will be preparing for the Belmont Stakes. And out of the 11 possibles for the Preakness Stakes, as you said and as John Lindo said many times, this 20-horse field in the Kentucky Derby, you're lucky if a handful of horses move on to the Preakness. You guys were right. Of those 11 possibilities, only three of them ran in the Derby.
One of them is Lucas, who never misses a dance if he gets an opportunity. So that's where Justice Steele is. As far as McPeak shipping Mystic Dan, you know, it's a tough call, Ralph. You only get one shot at the Triple Crown, and, you know, you could kick yourself in the butt if you blow it and you don't go and the horse should have gone. But you also have the Baffert factor. I mean, Muth beat this horse last time out by 6 lengths. Is he going to make up the difference coming back on just 2 weeks? Probably not. It's a hard thing to do. So they're in a tough spot. Personally, if I was them and the horse was okay, I obviously would run. You only get one shot. But you don't want to get your butt kicked by a horse after just winning the Derby. And if Muth is going to show up, you know, Baffert's coming in with a fresh horse. So it's a tough feat. But, again, you get one shot in life. You might as well take it if you can.
Well, I agree with you in this parameter. These would be the decision-making for me. If the horse is doing well and eating up and all that, fine. You know that by his past performances, he doesn't perform well over off of just a two-week rest. But at the same time, knowing that, you go into the Preakness, and of course, the betting public knowing that, and I'm sure they'll do a story or two on TV knowing that. So if the horse doesn't run well in the Preakness, everybody won't be super shocked about it. They'll just say, okay, we'll move on. As long as the horse is healthy, eaten up well, and kind of like, you know, the old saying, he's kicking down the barn, so to speak. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it and just say, hey, listen, the horse isn't up to it. He had a hard Derby. But it doesn't sound like he had a hard Derby up to this point. You know, there are always residual effects that happen a little bit down the line. So we'll have to really pay attention to him this week as he goes through his training and, of course, you know, all of his habits of eating, et cetera. As far as Muth and imagination, I mean, Bob Baffert is loaded. You know that.
And I'm sure McPeak will back off on the training. He's not going to train him hard if he decides to go to the Preakness. You know, maybe I'm sure they'll cut back on the training, which, you know, may give him a better shot on the short turnaround.
All right. Out of the very potent Baffert duo, and the fact that Mystic Dan may not really like just racing 2 weeks after a big race like that. After taking a look at the first look of the 11 in the Preakness, who do you think is going to be the main foes for Baffert? Nobody?
Well, I don't know. We have to see post position and everything else that goes with it. It's way too early, Ralph. Yeah. I know it's less than 2 weeks away, but in horse time, that's an eternity.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, we know one thing, Mr. Hardoon, you had a pleasant ride home from Las Vegas. We want to thank you here at the South Point, certainly at Race Day Las Vegas, and a lot of our listeners here for you coming out across country to make it for the celebration here for the Kentucky Derby. I thought it was a resounding success, not only from the shows that we provided for folks to help them out, and certainly for the response that we got, not only on the shows, but for the folks coming out here live and celebrating the Derby with us. I know you, as I did, took the last 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, to really kind of rest up, you know, and regroup.
Decompress.
Yes, decompress is a very good word. And regroup, that's for sure. And I guess racing in some ways and forms is as well, because we only have 5 tracks on the board today, none of which you handicapped, so you didn't even have to work on doing a sheet for today. But we'll start cranking it up as the week moves forward from tomorrow on out. I just want to thank you so much for your participation.
I'd like to thank you and John Lindo and Steve Johnson, all the listeners and the whole crew, Anne and Sean. Everybody was great. It was great meeting a lot of those people for the first time, and I had a blast.
Yeah, it was a good time had by all, that's for sure. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ralphie. Stay safe and be well.
You got it, my man. Okay, we're going to go to our next break. And when we come back, Rich Eng is standing by, and we want to have his thoughts, not only on the Derby, but, of course, looking ahead to the Preakness as well, on this kind of a kickback Race Day Las Vegas show as we start amping it up for the weekend. We'll be right back.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Okay, back on the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday as we start another week covering the great sport of Kings, Las Vegas style, from the South Point Studios here in Las Vegas over YouTube. We now bring in Rich Eng. And Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie.
Did you decompress as well, for, like all of the rest of us over the weekend?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I already put my losing tickets in the round file, and we moved on to Sunday racing, and now we move on to Wednesday racing. It's, you know, turn the page is a common term in horse racing because we accept what happened, and then we just move on.
No question about that. I'm sure that that would have been your biggest score in the Derby, but like you say, we turn the page and move on. Your thoughts now, reflecting on a couple of days removed from the great run for the Roses, and your assessment.
Yeah, there were a couple of things. You know, one thing that you and Jonathan talked about was how the Japanese people handled the Forever Young situation, the owner, the trainer, the jockey. And quite frankly, that doesn't surprise me because, you know, part of the Asian culture, Ralph, is to respect your elders, respect authority, respect the rule of law. And if the Churchill stewards said there's no foul, then they will accept that verdict and move forward. It's just the way kind of Asians kind of act and react. So that didn't surprise me. The other thing with Kenny McPeak sitting on the fence as far as moving on to the Preakness, you know, Kenny, you know, we know Kenny for a long time. He's extremely pragmatic. He really thinks things through before he moves forward. And I think what you and Jonathan talked about with the Baffert factor, I think is a legitimate concern to him, because if he goes to Baltimore and has his head handed to him, I mean, that he has to think about what the repercussions of doing, you know, something like that would affect the value of his horse. And, you know, the thing about Mystic Dan is, you know, I mean, that was a gritty, gritty win in the Kentucky Derby, Ralph. But I think Kenny would admit that this doesn't look like the second coming of Secretariat or Seattle Slough. He needed a perfect trip to win by an inch over two horses. So you know, I think he's just real pragmatic, and he's going to weigh everything out before he makes a final decision.
I agree with you there, that's for sure. And we all know that if Sierra Leone could have not leaned over on Forever Young, and they both had a clean shot at Mystic Dan, that finish line might not have come up in time to get Mystic Dan the run and the roses, that's for sure. But it is what it is. That's horse racing. And as we all often said on this show, you know, as much as we try to pre-handicap what might go on, after the post position draw and the loading into the starting gate, after that, it's the luck of the race itself. And that certainly prevailed in this Kentucky Derby, that's for sure. Didn't hear too much about what Fierceness is going to do. I guess they're going to give him a rest and probably get up to Saratoga for the Belmont weekend.
Well, Todd Pletcher definitely has to regroup because, you know, we talked during the week about Fierceness, how his, if you look at his past performances, he runs in and he runs out. And, you know, after a huge win in the Florida Derby, the Kentucky Derby was an out. And so, you know, they got to regroup and see where they go forward with that. And, you know, another point about Mystic Dan is, and any of the three-year-olds coming out of the Derby, the three-year-old season is so long and so important. So even if you don't run in the Preakness, you've got the Belmont Stakes, you got the Haskell at Monmouth, you got the Travers at Saratoga, you got the Pennsylvania Derby at Parks. I mean, there are a lot of targets to shoot for later in the season. So you kind of got to figure out, you know, what is the best thing to do with my horse long term.
And not to mention, you'll be eligible to run against the older horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic, the big end of the year championship. That's for sure. We will wait and see. First blush at the Preakness. Any thought?
Yeah, Baffert is loaded. I mean, you know, Muth. There's a chance that if Muth had run in the Kentucky Derby, he would have been the betting favorite.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, who knows if he actually would have won the race, but I think he would have been the morning line favorite. And Imagination is a horse that's real sneaky. How many times have we seen the other Baffert or the other trainer's horse win, you know, the race and beat the you know, the more highly supported one? Imagination is a nice horse. He lost by a couple of inches to Stronghold in the Sania Derby. So Baffert comes in with two guns loaded. And, you know, even out of the horses out of the Kentucky Derby, you know, there's no saying that a horse like Catching Freedom, who was my pick in the Derby, you know, couldn't turn the tables on a horse like Mystic Dan, depending on the kind of trip they get.
Not even a question about that. Well, Richie, we will let you continue on kind of relaxing today, but I understand you have a pick for us.
Yeah, I think we can't go through a day of Race Day Las Vegas without at least an offer or something to bet
on. Sure.
I did take a look at the cards, and let's go to the opener at Parks today. Race number one, there's a horse shipping in from New York. Number one, Uncle Waterflow, Patrick Reynolds. This horse has been knocking heads against New York horses, and now he ships in to Parks, running for $7,500, which tells me two things, Ralph. One, he's willing to lose the horse for $7,500, but two, he also wants to win the purse to make the trip worthwhile. So let's go with number one, Uncle Waterflow, race one at Parks.
All right, first race at Parks, number one, Uncle Waterflow, and of course, Parks starts their racing today at 9:40 a.m. Pacific time. Remember that, it's the first race. Easy to remember, first race number one. And Richie, your man Joey Bravo, Jersey Joey Bravo, goes back to Monmouth Park this year, and of course, Monmouth will be opening up on Saturday, so a place that you and I are very familiar with.
You know, that should be fun because yeah. Paco Lopez has taken over Joey Bravo's crown
yeah.
at Monmouth. Joey Bravo's going to want that crown back.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
Final break. When we come back, thoughts from both John Lendo and Jerry Jackowitz, and we'll move on. Don't go away.
From the South Point Studio. Perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down. Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
It's the over-under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
For real.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sports book and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday Race Day show as we kind of start slow and move to the big weekend coming up here from Las Vegas. We now go to John Lindo, who's back in Southern California in his office. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm starting to regroup now. I needed a lot of rest over the last 2 days, and I'm sure you that you detoxed well as well, decompressing, I mean.
Oh, it was great, though. Got to spend some time with a lot of enthusiastic fans. That was it kind of regenerates you. It kind of makes you feel like, okay, we're not just talking to a wall. There are people out there that want to learn and play the races.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. That ballroom was just unbelievable. I think took even the brass here at the South Point taken aback with all of the fine folks that were there over the weekend. And we thank all of them for that. And we hope they had a good time because most of them, in fact, it was unanimous. All of them had a great time. Hey, look, you know, we're talking about the big prices that happen on Derby weekend at Churchill Downs, but sneaking in Sunday at Santa Anita, you had the final pick five there that paid over $100,000.
Well, here's a note that's on my Lindo report for Friday for Santa Anita. Since the start of the Hollywood meet, the second meet, I don't have the numbers yet from Sunday, but percentage of winning favorites, 26%.
There you go. That's what we want to see. That's for sure. Real quick, a thought, you know, reflecting now on the Derby.
Watching the results of that Derby, and, you know, I don't have any problem when a trainer has a violation and is suspended. But Bob Baffert, you know, after that Medina Spirit fiasco, he served the 2 years that they were assigned. No, whatever he did the 90 days that the Kentucky board assigned. Churchill gave him another year, and you watch that result. And I want to see the best horses that are able to run that are good to go at that time compete in the Kentucky Derby, and you see what. You know, Mystic Dan did, and you see Moose sitting on the sidelines. We had talked about this months ago. Would this be a Derby with an asterisk on it? And it'll be very interesting to see what Moose does in the Preakness.
No question about that. He's got a double-barreled, and with that workout of 111 and change for both those horses on Saturday morning, he's holding no punches, that's for sure. And so a quick look at the Preakness, I guess they got to get around Bob Baffert.
I think so, and it looks like a maximum of two horses that ran in the Derby would run, and that would be the Lucas horse Just Steel, and depending on what Mystic Dan does, and that looks like it from the body of the race, and, you know, that's been a problem.
I understand that the horse that Flavian Pratt ran in the Kentucky Derby that finished fourth in there, Catching Freedom, is intended on going, though, so there'll be a three in there.
Okay, I hope so. Yeah. I'd like to see more, you know, guys kind of string along and go through the triple crown if the horses are able to do it.
Well, John, we will let you kick back and relax today. Just wanted to get your thought or two about it. We want to thank you so much for all of the work you did here in studio. It was always great to have you here and all the work of the Lindo Report here at South Point. You guys did a great job and can't wait to get you back. We want to thank you so much for that.
It was a lot of fun, Ralph. We'll get back out there and bother you soon when we get out to Las Vegas.
All right, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, good luck today.
All right, let's bring in Jerry Jackowitz now. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Well, your thoughts about the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, a few I have. Let's see. First of all, it was obviously a good thing to be on the rail. We've seen how many horses come up the rail and, you know, produce as long shots, you know, Rich Strike, and his favorites, too. You know, Street Sense was a good example. But being on the rail is definitely an advantage, particularly in the Derby. And that proved to be true again this past one. The overwhelming for me, because I use speed figures and I look at tops, you know, when I say a top, that's a horse's runner's best lifetime race or the best race in a sequence, in a recent sequence. Mm-hmm. Not one horse in the Kentucky Derby, save with the exception of Mystic Dan, ran better in the Derby than they did in their previous race. Mystic Dan's the only one that actually went into the Kentucky Derby and ran a forward race.
Then let me ask you,
that's why he won it.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say that's why he won, because of a combination of really good training by Kenny McPeak and having the horse going forward and the rail trip. He needed both of those things to have a chance, and he did both of those things. He ran forwardly, and he took advantage of the rail.
Right.
And everybody else ran off, which tells me typically that these horses are all overtrained coming into the Derby. They're overtrained for their preps. These guys don't know how to train for the Kentucky Derby. Baffert would have won this race easily, I'm sure.
All right, quick thought now, quick question. Fierceness ran a huge, as you say, topper in the Florida Derby when he won that, and obviously the Kentucky Derby was next. Do you think he, what they term in the business, had a bounce?
Well, yeah. Well, I didn't really look at his Florida Derby as a huge top. I thought it was, the horse had run on my sheet 77 and a half as a two-year-old, and so as a three-year-old, he should come back, you know, several months later, running 78, 79. He ran right around 78 and a quarter on my sheets. So I was certainly in line. That wouldn't be a top. It was, but it turned out that it was a top. I mean, I wouldn't interpret that as a top. I would interpret that as an inline move, because you would expect a horse in November of 2023, by the time they became a three-year-old in March or April of 2024, to run 1 or 2 points faster without a problem, without extending itself.
Right.
And it proved that that didn't prove to be true. And, you know, Pletcher has a perfectly horrible record as a trainer in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, he's failed way more than he succeeded with really fantastic horses. So, but, you know, if you throw enough at him, if you put a couple hundred of them in there over a 20-year period, one or two of them will win, and that's what's happened with him.
And that's exactly what happened with him. Well, Jerry, as the other handicappers, we're starting out the week nice and slow because there's no racing that you guys cover this day. So we'll be talking to tomorrow, and we'll get the Power Pages started again. In the meantime, there's only one more thing to say on this closing of this day's show, and you're going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.